Hallelujah. Glory to God. I've been meditating on this for a couple weeks now, asking God to show me how he would have me to deliver it and to put it together. And I think it might have been this morning when he just kind of just took it and just dropped it in my lap. When we look at the fact and we have something to think about, and when we think about God, we think about his greatness, his vastness, his love, his mercies that never die. These are the things we need to think about. I forgot what chapter is in, but it says, think on these things which are pure, things which are of good report, things which are honest. Think on these things. When you think on these things, you think on the things of God.
Amen.
But God's trying to take us into a new arena with our thinking. Cleaning up our understanding. Giving us fresh wisdom from the ages. So that we no longer just have a word to say, but we have a life to manifest. Amen. When we have a life to manifest, it has more power than any words you might say.
Amen.
Your life has authority and dominion. Remember, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their what?
Testimony.
Their testimony. When it talks about testimony, it's not talking about what's coming out of their mouth. Right. It's talking about what's manifesting out their bodies, out their spirits. Your testimony is your walk with God, not your talking God.
Amen.
Right. Look at this. Go to Genesis, the first chapter. Remember, the message is called Think About It. When we get to reading, you're going to say, well, what does that have to do with me? The 11th verse of the first chapter of Genesis. And God said, the Elohim, creator of all things. The word said here means to declare or appoint. Let the earth bring forth what?
Grass.
And the herb yield seed. And the fruit tree yielding fruit. After this kind, after time, whose seed is what? In itself. Upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass. And herb yielding seed after what? His kind. And the tree yielding fruit whose seed was where? In itself. After his kind. And God saw that it was good. And it was what? The evening and the morning of the what day?
Third day.
The third day. So what does it have to do with me? I'm not a seed. You are. I'm not grass. You aren't. You're not a fruit tree. Of course not. But what God is giving us is a type shadow, that which is natural, pointing to that which is spiritual, so that we have clear understanding that what we are to do. Think about it. Think about it. Everything is yielding seed after its own kind. Because I like the part when it says, whose seed is what? In itself. The word, that means in seeding, it has the ability to seed or to produce life. Think about it. The seed that you are, you're supposed to be producing life. The life you produce is the way you produce it, is the way you carry yourself, the way you live your life, the way you talk, the way you walk. There are all things about you that used to be out there, but now you've brought an introvert to him, and you're still there, but you're showing forth a different character now, and you're showing forth a different nature. Why? Because the seed itself is in itself, and in seeding it shall produce that which it is, and that is what? The nature and the character of our God.
Amen.
The seed. Amen. And then, if you want to go a little further with it, the same seed, my goodness, the same seed that they're talking about there, then God goes on a little bit further, and they do it in the, it's done on the what? The third day, giving us total evidence of the Trinity, letting us know that all three of them did this. That's why I said, let us.
Man. Hallelujah. Girl.
I kind of find that funny that none of them did anything without each other. But somehow or another, we managed to get over into the history and separate them.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Somebody going to catch that in a minute. Paul says, and the earth brought forth grass, and yield an herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. Now, I'll read to you again. Hallelujah. There you go. Somebody praise me. Help yourself. Here we go. And so God said, let the earth sprout tender vegetation, plants yielding seed, the fruit trees bearing fruit according to limited to consistent with their there's a problem in Houston. I'm gonna read that again. Plants yielding seed, fruit trees bearing fruit according to, limited to, consistent with their kind. So if you produce it any other way, that's a hot subject. Test tubes, anything that ain't produce the seed in itself ain't producing. That's another message I made myself hot, Jesus. That's a whole other message. Nevertheless, we have to understand that God intends for us to reproduce.
Yeah.
Not baby reproduce, but I'm talking about to reproduce. That's what that is all talking about. That just like those seeds are in themselves and they have the ability to seed, but it says after its own kind, you can run away with that. You can run away with, ooh, Lord, can you run away with that? And you get all kind of calls. From homosexual, lesbians. The seed is in itself. If it can't seed the way God said it seed, Lord, I'm gonna get on. We talking about, think about it. Are you thinking about it? Maybe he is. Think about the things that God has provided for us that we fail to use to the ability that he has set up in us.
Amen.
Depriving God of showing forth his authority and his dominion in the earth. We're doing that, not God.
Yeah.
We can't blame God for nothing.
Right.
So that means somebody's got to accept the what? The responsibility. I was laughing the other day. You know, I said to myself, I said, listen, let me tell you something. I need to remind you of something. And I took my bony little finger, Brother Carlos, and I pointed it back at myself. And I said, let me tell you something. God did not give you high blood pressure. God did not give you allergies. God did not give you sinus problems. Because the seed that's in you is bearing fruit after its own kind. That means this. That whatever is in me is producing my high blood pressure. Whatever is in me is producing my allergies. Whatever in me is creating my sinus infections. Y'all don't hear me today. I just stole something. I just stole an excuse from you. I stole an excuse from you. Well, Pastor, what excuse did you steal? I stole this excuse. The devil did it.
Come on.
He making me sick. He made me sick, but not to the point where he affects my body. He makes me sick because I spend so much time hearing everybody talk about it. I was listening to gospel music this morning. 19 out of 20 songs spent most of my time building up Satan. What he took from him. What they going to take back from him? If he got it, you ain't going to get it unless you die and try and get it. Because just like Jesus is spirit, so is he. So if you figure out a way to take back something that you think he took from you, call me. It's ring-a-ding-ding, ring-a-ding-ding. I want to know. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Tell that thing. Go ahead. Tell it on somebody. Then when we get to talking about Adam. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Well, we know how that went, don't we? Folks think it's a great thing that God, well, they don't pay any attention to the fact that the scripture says that after God, after they formed Adam in their image and in their likeness, they picked him up and put him in the garden to keep it functioning. But there was another function for that garden. That's why he did what he did to get out. How would you, let me ask you something. You got a seed of life in you. You have the ability. You can call plants. You can call animals. You can control everything in the earth. And then this man has the nerve to pick you up and lock you inside a fenced-in area? Where now you can only have control over the things that are in that fenced-in area? Right. That's what garden is translated into Hebrew, fenced in area. You can put any kind of name you want to put on it, but it's a fenced in area. God says, read your Bible, says God picked him up and put him in it. He jammed him up. If it was all that good, why didn't God just say, here, Adam, here you are out here, you can go through the gate and tend what's in the garden whenever you feel like it. But God knew if he left that joker on the outside, there was no way he was going on the inside. Why? Because of the seed that was already, you said, but didn't God create him in his image and his likeness? He sure did, and gave him the ability to have his own free will and volition. And he had made up his mind when he was a spirit what he was going to do already. He ain't stupid. Adam knew exactly what he had planned. You know what? I ain't planning on going this way, but here we are. He had that. What did you say? Well, when he was spirit. Yeah, the sixth chapter of Genesis, isn't it? Says that God created man and female, and he called their names what?
Adam.
Adam. God said their name. God named them Adam. First time Adam saw her, he said what? This is woman. This Gia, she shall be called woman. Because she came from me. It had nothing to do with God doing it. Forget you guys, she came from me. So I'm going to change her name from Adam to woman. Later on down the line, he decided, oh, God, we done the dumb thing now. I'm finna control everything. I'm going to change her name to Eve. Because that means she'll be the mother of everything that's ever born into life again. Guess how you were born into sin.
All right.
Because he changed her name into Eve. So after, from that point on, everything born into this world, I don't care how old that baby is, it could just be a seed in your belly. It's already wrapped up in sin. Uh-huh. And he ain't done a darn thing but try to eat. And make your nights miserable, kicking you when you're trying to go to sleep. But he already born into sin. Who you think got power? Does he have power? Or does Satan have power? Brother Relford, I never read anywhere in my Bible where it says, and Satan had enmity with God. I read about one person having enmity with God, and it was Adam, the old nature. And the word enmity means hatred. We gotta go. I gotta get out of here. My goodness, my goodness. Let's go to Romans. Look at your neighbor and say, think about it.
Think about it.
Have you got something you can think about yet?
Think about it.
Better be thinking about it. It's only one thing standing between you and God. If you think you know who it is, raise your hand. Y'all scaring me. Ain't nobody raising their hands. Well, just take a guess. Just take a guess. Thank you. Oh, we don't want to admit it then. That's why we ain't raising our hands. There's only one thing standing between us and God, and that is us. It's us. We standing between God. We keeping ourselves from God. And we blame our mamas. We blame our genealogies. We blame our ancestors. We blame our sisters. Well, if my sister hadn't done this, or my mother and dad hadn't been doing this when they had me, I wouldn't be in this situation. Or if my dad wasn't a drunk, I wouldn't be in the... Man, bye. Right.
Amen.
Catch a clue, Obi. Like, Francis Denise said, hold on, pimp. You ain't got nobody fooled. We recognize you. We understand that you're trying to keep us from our God.
All right.
You're trying to steal our mindset. You're trying to steal our thoughts. You're in our ideas. And you want us to think that it's not you, but somebody else. But I know you. I know you.
Right.
I know you because I've had experiences with you. Look at Romans. Go to the 8th chapter. What's the name of the message?
Think about it.
God wants us to think about just a few things here to remind ourselves who we are in God, what we possess in Him, and the things that don't have no power nor authority over us. Think about this. Now, look at verse 33. Just think about it. Think about it. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Think about it. Who shall? Dog Joe? Who? The word who just don't cover natural things. It covers spiritual things. Amen. Things seen, things unseen. Things in the earth, things in heaven. Who's, my God, who shall lay anything? Well, now we have to figure out something else. Are you part of God's elect? Yeah. If you don't know by now, you ain't never going to know. You've been in this thing too long not to know whether you're part of God's elect or you're not. I kind of like that, Denise. I'm going to start using that. Hold on, pimp. Don't worry, Pastor over here say it too. Amen. But God said, this is God talking. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Think about it. God's love in securing us against all who would accuse us. That's what he's saying. God said, my love is greater than anything, anyone that would accuse you of anything. I like this part, Sister Jack. You know what he told me? He said, especially you, boy. Talk to me, especially you, boy, because you have the uncanny ability to talk yourself out of a blessing.
Right. Yeah.
You can be looking at a blessing in the face and talk yourself out of it. Oh Lord, that ain't for me. I didn't hear God say to do that. Man, I'm going. All he can tell me, you missed this one. I ain't gonna miss it because I didn't try. My goodness, come on, Lord. Christ's love manifesting in death. Look at this. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Think about it. What you got to worry about? We worry about our finances. We worry about our health. We worry about our mind. We worry about our parents. We worry about our friends. We worry about every thinking thing we can lay our eyes on, our ears here. And what has it changed? Who has it changed? How great has it made you feel? I'll be like that guy. Don't worry. Be happy. You might as well. I was looking up some statistics the other day. I ain't gonna try it again. The other day. And found out most heart attacks and strokes come from what?
Worry
and stress.
Amen.
So who killing you? Get a letter on this one, Tyler. Who killing you? That's gonna agree with Christ, yeah. Don't get his laugh in. Amen. Let's back up to 31. Back all the way up to 31. I'm just trying to show you something. Think about some of this stuff. Think about this word. What shall we say then? Say to these things. If God be for us. There's that who again. Can be against us. Who? When? Where? What? Can be against us. What has power over you that God don't have over you in his life already? And the reason it said that, moreover, he did predestinate them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. You! Amen. Talking about you! Amen. And if he did all that, he say so. Let's check it out. Think about it. If God says, if he be for you, who can be against you? Cut it out!
Amen.
I'm talking to me too! I see why God changed my message. Because he wanted me to hear it first. Because I was in a hot roll this morning. That's Brother Andy. I go to use my laptop, and it keep cutting off. So I finally unplugged it and turned it upside down. Guess what I can't saw come out? Water. Water. And more water. And the boy say, all I want is a little water. So you can understand, I was not. Thank you. At all. And all I kept hearing from that point was God saying, think about it. I said, God, this message ain't for me. He go, think about it. So I started thinking about it. And I come to the realization that it was actually for me. So I'm preaching to me. If you just happen to apprehend or comprehend something that I'm preaching to me about, then you're blessed.
Amen. Amen.
I'm sitting up here ready to cry. Man. Listen to this. I'm going to share this with you. First lady left yesterday morning going to wherever she went. She went. Her and girlfriend, they in the tournament up there. Bay City. So I said to myself, man, I'm going to sleep good all night. Ain't got nobody telling me to roll over, stop snoring. Ain't got nobody tapping me. Turn on your stomach, babe. I'm going, man, I'm finna do this darn thing. I'm going to sleep. I'm going to be all over the bed. One of them kings, them used beds. Man, let me tell you what happens. I'm all over that bed. Can't sleep. Keep waiting on her to say, hey, roll over your stomach. Didn't hear none of that. So at 3:30 in the morning, I'm up. I go downstairs, I go to the restroom, clean up, go in the kitchen. Say, you know you ain't supposed to eat nothing here. So I close the refrigerator door, go back upstairs, in the bed again. Just all over the place. Finally, the next time I woke up, I found myself sideways with my head almost over the side of the bed where she sleeps at. I said, you know what? This is ridiculous. I got my phone and called her. Now, it's about 4:30 in the morning. I'm going to call her. And she's going, now she's asleep, because she can sleep in the middle of a hurricane. I said, hey, babe. She said, what's wrong? I say, nothing. She said, are you sure? Do you know what time it is? Yeah, I know it's 4:30. I just wanted to call you to make sure you were okay. She said, she started laughing. Man, you know you funny. You better come back to sleep. Oh, okay, man, I love you. I'll see you tomorrow. I said all that to say this. You think you got it made sometimes when you really don't. Adam thought he had it made. He didn't know the Father was going to send Jesus to come back.
Come on. Come on. Yes. Yes.
But he figured it out when the Father, the windows of heaven opened up, and this is my beloved Son whom I well pleased. And then he was all right with that. But then when his flesh started seeing this dove descend, he recognized who that dove was. He was like, oh, snaps. Battle on. Now it ain't just him no more. Now it's the Holy Ghost up in there. And the Holy Ghost was kicking some butt.
Yeah.
Every time that old man tried to stand up, Holy Ghost, Father, be thy will.
Yeah.
Nevertheless. Father, why have thou, Eli, Lama Sabachthani? What? Not be back down again. He decided, man, this ain't no joke. I'm in for a battle. But then you don't realize you're in for a battle until you realize who you're fighting against.
Right.
So here he is. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us. God gave his son for us, didn't spare him. So what do you think he's going to do for us? Think about it. We play this waiting game with God. We sit back and we wait on God to read our minds. Because we're afraid if we're asking for something, he's not going to hear us. Well, you know what telling you, you know who's telling you that if you ask him, he ain't going to hear you. That's you. Reminding you of something you might have said, or reminding you of something you might have done, bringing your past back to you, letting you know, making you think that because of all this stuff, you can't get nothing done or get nothing from God. I got news for you. God been forgave you. You the one don't want to forgive yourself. God said, with Jesus up there making intercession for you. And then I like what Paul, finishing up with this, Paul says in the 35th verse, who shall separate us? That's that word, who again? Was spirit, What in order or domain? What thing? What person? What attitude? What disposition? What hater? What character? What nature? What pain? What hurt? What sickness shall separate me? From God. Think about it. When all it took you had to do was hold fast to your what? Profession of faith. Amen. Looking to the hills for whence cometh your help. Your help cometh from the Lord.
Amen.
Now let me do a little translation on that real quick for you. Your help cometh from the Lord, not God. It said the Lord. Meaning, it's talking about Theos. Theos is that revealed God. That means that's the God that's on the inside of you. So what is he saying? When you lift your eyes up and realize you have victory, your help is coming from within, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. So if God is in you, who can be against you?
Amen.
Paul said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Think about it. Distress or persecution. Think about it. Famine or nakedness. Think about it. Peril or sword. Think about it. Think about this part for real, because most of us are probably dealing with this. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long, as we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. The word slaughter means sacrifice. The word killed means put to death. The word accounted means on account of. We go through all this stuff on account of God to get the glory from our lives. Ain't that what he said? I think that's what I heard him say over here. He also glorified in the 30th verse. He also justified. Whom he justified, then he also did what?
Glorified.
He glorified. So that his glory will manifest itself in your life when you're tried, like it's unto a fire, and realize that for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But then that one word pops up that has so much authority. Nay! In all these things, we are more than conquerors. I know you're looking at the word conqueror, but the word more has more power to it. The more puts you over the top. Gives you to take inventory of who you are in God.
Amen.
The more it turns your conquer into something far more greater than you can ever imagine with your mind. That's how you get through all the hell you go through and don't know how you make it. That's how you get blessed financially and don't know where it comes from.
Amen.
That's why you can stand up and proclaim that this is the day that the Lord has made and don't know why.
All right.
Because you're more than just a mere conqueror. You know why I mention you're more than a mere conqueror? Because it's not just you knowing more, it's Christ in you.
Amen.
Your hope of glory. Amen. That same glory that the Father showed forth in the Son might show forth in you.
Amen.
We are more than conquerors through him that did what? Loved us. Now, this is where I understand this. I take this verse personally. For I am. That's the keys. I am persuaded. I'm persuaded, Therese, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things death, nor any other creature. Any other creature. I know we look at the word creature, we go, we want to immediately think we're talking about a lion or a bear. My lion, tigers, and bears. Oh my. But it's talking about any other created thing. Talking about created things. So, what's that got to do with us? You got folks that's been in automobile accidents don't drive no more. You got folks that have done certain things, whatever that thing affected their mindset so bad, they won't go that way no more. They locked themselves out of it. Now, I make fun of Pastor Keys, but he's right. This man here will eat anything. He will. No, don't laugh. It ain't funny. He will eat anything. He will take his chances on eating anything. You know why? Because this Bible and that Bible says that every food that God ever created was made for consumption.
Amen.
That's what it says. And I used to harass the heck out of him. I did. About what he ate. Until God told me to go to the scripture. When I got through reading it, that's what it was. I said, I'll never bother him again. Only thing God wants us to do, though, is do it in moderation. Anything you do in moderation. Thank you. He reminds me of this verse. For I am persuaded neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. The affection and the authority of God. Nothing. Not a darn thing. Unless we allow it to. And if we allow it to, it ain't nobody's fault but our own. I heard a lady say one time, God don't want me to be blessed. I said, no, you don't want you to be blessed. Wow. She made me mad. Why would you say that, woman of God? If God can bless the animals, sparrows, they don't have to worry about what they're going to eat. Lilies of the valley don't have to toil. If he's going to look out for them, God, how much more important are you to God? The only situation, problem that I see it is, though, God said, if I be for you, who can separate you? The who? Well, I got something to tell you about that who. That who is the very thing that you have aligned your spirit with that has more authority over your life than your God. Let me say that again because I'll go forget in a second. The who is the very thing that you have allowed to align itself with your spirit and have authority over you greater than your God. Anything that stops you from tithing, from worship, from attending church, not this one, but any church, from calling out and talking to your God, from studying your Bible or reading your Bible, anything that stops you from doing what the Bible tells you you ought to do so that you can live is your who. Think about it, everybody. Think about it. Thank you.